Hello. Welcome to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, City Manager, City of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. We are excited again to be here and to have all of the listeners and watchers tune in. I appreciate it, and thank you for all the comments during the week. I walked into Plantangas, the dry cleaners on Henry Street, and I found out that they tune in regularly, and so it was nice to hear about them, and the great service that they offer there is just accentuated because of the fact that they're listening to the show. So that was awesome. I have a great show for us today, and I'm looking forward to it. We have a small business highlight that we're going to do today. We'll do our regular updates. That includes, you know, dates to save the dates to remember, new happenings, and what's coming up in the future, things that we're doing here in Muskegon Heights. And then we'll do the new business highlight, and then wrap up with some additional information, hopefully, about buying a new house in Muskegon Heights and mortgages and the like. So excited to get started on that. So I won't take up any more time, but I'll go ahead and jump on the updates. Now, reminder, this week coming up, this Monday, February 28th, we have a council meeting. That council meeting is going to cover approval of senior millage programming. So that was introduced at our last meeting, and we'll get final approval at this meeting. And also, because of the closeout of our last fiscal year, 2020, we're required to put together a deficit elimination plan. That deficit elimination plan was introduced at the last meeting and will receive, hopefully, final approval by council at this meeting. So those are the two main items on there. And then there'll be a discussion for information only about Peck Street and the possibility of slowing down the traffic on Peck Street in alignment with what the city of Muskegon is doing north of our city on Peck Street. That idea is just to connect with what they're doing, align the street so that you have the same experience going all the way through from City of Muskegon through City of Muskegon Heights. So if you can make it, please come on in. If you can't, please feel free to Zoom in. We look forward to having as many people as possible participate in our meetings. Another reminder, again, April 1st, we're kicking off the Fight the Blight campaign, Beautify the Heights, Fight the Blight. And so please be ready for that. And that includes being ready to get the leaves up, cut the grass, clean up around the property, whether it means that you need painting or new siding, fixing fences. And also, that means no longer able to park in the grass or on the terrace. And so that's going to be a strict enforcement this year, coming out of the winter months when you can park on the terrace. So please be mindful, no longer parking in the front yard or in the grass, park on the street or in the driveway where your vehicles will be towed. So we want to make sure that we put the best foot forward coming out of the winter months and into spring this year. So please pay attention to that, heads up. We expect a number of events coming out this year. I want you to make sure you reserve on your calendar June 19th for the Juneteenth celebration. And that should be a three-day celebration, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, culminating with the fireworks over the lake at Mona Lake Park. So we had an exciting time last year, and we're trying to take it up a notch this year with the additional events. So please plan on joining us for that. Then you've got following up in the month of July and August, the Street Fest in August and Buy Black and just a number of events. And so keep your eyes open for a calendar. We're going to put a link up on the city website, so you'll have that. And so I'm really excited. I don't know if you can tell about what 2022 holds for us and the number of great things that are going on in the Heights. And speaking of which, let's take a moment to talk about Apex happenings. I wanted to share, in case you missed it, that we had the visioning plan presentation at this meeting this past Monday night at 6, no, it was actually 5:30 at City Hall. We got a presentation from the Smith Group. This is a grant that was provided by the Community Foundation and MEDC to allow us to do visioning for Muskegon Heights for the next 5 to 10 years, and to be able to paint that picture based on the focus groups and the feedback that we got from businesses, from the community, from young folks in the community, and from organizations in the community of what we want Muskegon Heights to look like in the upcoming 5 to 10 years. Now, this is piggybacking off of a process that occurred in Muskegon. From what I understand, looking at the image or the imagined Muskegon image that they had put together 17 years ago, I heard that what downtown looks like today is pretty much that vision of what the community came together. And so we're hoping to have the same or similar success here in Muskegon Heights with this visioning plan, Reaching New Muskegon Heights. You can go to the website, reachingnewmuskegonheights.org, and you can see the results of the visioning plan that they presented to council and to the DDA on Monday night. So exciting to be able to see the thoughts and ideas that came from the community put into pictures and drawings and designs. And so take a look at that. The plan will be finalized. There's a survey there if you want to add some feedback and input, but we're wrapping that up and putting a bow on it so that we can begin turning that vision into action. So please take a moment and take a look at that again at www.reachingnewmuskegonheights.org. The DDA met, Downtown Development Authority. Again, another exciting step in the right direction. The new appointments to the DDA have been made, and the DDA is getting down to work under the leadership of Brad Hillary as the president. And so we should be seeing some developments and changes in our downtown area as a result of the programs and initiatives that the DDA is putting together. The deficit elimination plan that I mentioned before is going to be approved. And I want to make a note of, because I saw some information about the Muskegon Heights school system, public school academy. The performance has been improving steadily, and I'm excited to hear that, because as we lift up the school and the school rises up, so that also lifts up the community at large. So a rising tide raises all ships. So kudos to the work that the new superintendent is doing in helping to improve the performance of our students, because one cannot succeed without the other. And so we need to come together as a unified community and support both the local government and the school system. And I'm excited to see us move in a positive direction with regard to that. What's coming up next? So make note that the pavilion down at Mona Lake Park, the work should be beginning here shortly on the renovations for the pavilion there. Estimates on the work that's being planned to be done there is between $350,000 to possibly $500,000 worth of renovations on that property. We are looking forward to being able to get that building open and provide services to the community, so that when you go to the park, when you go to the beach, you can enjoy the amenities offered by concessions there and a beautiful new restaurant there at Mona Lake Park in the pavilion. So that work is scheduled to start in the spring here, late spring, early summer. So all kinds of things that are jumping off here in Muskegon Heights, and can't be mad about that. Also, Shops on Sherman on the corner of Peck and Sherman. Demolition should be beginning there end of March, beginning of April. So be prepared for that. There may be some impact on the intersection as that demolition occurs as part of that $4.5 million project that's going to bring new retail space on the bottom floors and residential space above. So an exciting new addition to Muskegon Heights. I want to encourage you to check out Senior Resources of West Michigan. Check out their website, seniorresourceswmi.org. They are soliciting survey responses as part of their annual five-year programming. And so if you are a senior or you know seniors or you take care of, or if you're a caregiver, care provider, please fill out that survey because that helps them identify where to focus their resources and money in Muskegon Heights. So again, that's Senior Resources, W as in whiskey, M as in Mike, I as in India, .org. Check out their website, and on the front page at the bottom, there's a survey there. Please fill out that survey. In the spring, we should be kicking off with road improvements, and part of that, in addition to completing Delano and the new road work for Leahy that is going out to bid, new striping on our streets. So there'll be some traffic control associated with that and the upcoming road work. And when you go out there to look at reachingnewmuskegonheights.org, the visioning plan, make sure you take a look at the thoughts and plans for Mona Lake Park, as well as reconfiguration proposals for Rowan Park and for the Strand building. So we are waiting for a response from the legislature on our bid to get $7 million to repave from Getty to Glade on Broadway. And that's just going to be a huge centerpiece for our downtown. Because in case you hadn't noticed it, going around to other communities, we are one of the few communities in West Michigan that has a main street downtown that is unique to our community. And other communities are trying to recreate that, but we haven't. And so being able to repave our downtown area on Broadway, and then wrap along with that improvements on the facades for the buildings, a solution for the Strand building and the reconfiguration for Rowan Park. And if we're lucky, we'll be able to put in a splash pad down there and do some really nice things with that downtown focal point for Muskegon Heights. And as parks go, 8th Street Park is due to get a facelift as well. So keep your eyes open for that. That'll be some really beautiful improvements. And shout out to all the people who contributed to that project. I think they've raised over $60,000 to do the upgrades to 8th Street Park. So that is going to be another beautiful addition to Muskegon Heights. And finally, I want to mention, we're going to be moving forward with the vehicle decals for residents of Muskegon Heights. And so we'll be rolling that out. So everybody that is a resident in Muskegon Heights will be able to get a decal for their vehicles that will allow you to park your vehicles on the street overnight. And then also the beautiful thing about those decals is that when we began charging for our parking down at Mona Lake, you will be able to get free parking and discounted parking as a resident with a decal, vehicle decal. So look forward to that coming up here in Muskegon Heights. And now I will shift to Did You Know, as part of our Black History feature for the month of February. The highlights that I want to bring to you today include, again, the common theme about property. Many of us, and this quite frankly was news to me until I started doing research on it, wasn't until 1917 as a result of a landmark case that the Supreme Court decided, which was called Buchanan versus Warley, W-A-R-L-E-Y. That made race-based zoning, home zoning, unconstitutional. So if you were looking to buy a house in a predominantly white community and you were African-American, you weren't able to do that prior to this decision in many communities across our country. Or vice versa, if you were white and wanted to buy a house in a predominantly black community, that was not allowed either way. And it was this decision in 1917 that outlawed zoning based on segregation in communities. Now, the interesting thing to me that I found as I did research on this, you know, school desegregation continued for several decades after 1917, as we're aware of in this country, in our country. And what folks did to pivot to get around the 1917 outlawing of segregated zoning is communities moved schools that were only for Black folks into particular areas that were undesirable. So hence, if you wanted to send your kids to a school, you had to locate your housing in order to be close to the school around that school. And so if they wanted to relegate people of color to a particular part of the community, what they would do is move the school for people of color to that section of the community, which de facto caused people to relocate around those schools in order to be able to send their kids to those schools. Otherwise, there was no way for them to get busing to those schools, or if you didn't have a vehicle to provide transportation, then you had to move into that area to be close to the school. So even though zoning based on race was illegal, it did not touch on or cover the desegregation of schools. And so because schools were still desegregated, a de facto way of accomplishing that segregation of communities was to put the only school that people of color could go to in a particular community, in an undesirable area of that community, to then force people to move close to that and then accomplish the same thing through the segregated school system. So that was not addressed until the desegregation of schools. This landmark decision in 1917 was responsible for overturning the Plessy versus Ferguson case in the 1860s. So just a little known piece of history here, again, about land and land use in our country. And the last thing that I'll mention is about the cotton gin. And the cotton gin was not about property, but it was about intellectual property. Because as you've probably heard, Eli Whitney was credited with the founding of the cotton gin, or the patent on the cotton gin. That was in 1793, I believe it was. And at that time, the value of slavery was beginning to wane because the cotton process was such a labor-intensive process. But because of the fact that it was labor-intensive, and there were so many discoveries that came out of the South during slavery, because those people who were actually doing the work were constantly looking at ways to leverage tools and technology in order to be able to make it simpler or easier to do. And so many of those inventors were slaves themselves. And in this case, with the cotton gin, there is history that says that a slave by the name of Sam invented a comb that was capable of removing seeds from the cotton, which was a labor-intensive process. And it was his son, also named Sam, that designed and devised a way to mechanize the use of that comb. So hence we had the cotton gin. Now, it wasn't until 1858? No. In 1858, the Supreme Court found that all those slaves and former slaves that were seeking to patent their designs and their inventions were not able to get patents because, based on the ruling in 1858, a ruling by the United States Attorney General, that because enslaved people were considered property, then anything that they invented was the property of the owner, and therefore they could not get the intellectual property rights associated with being able to get patents. So again, another stitch in time about the fact that much of racism, structural, institutional, the legacy of slavery is related to the right to or the access to property, and if not physical property, intellectual property. So that is our little known or did you know Black History moment. And with that, I will bring in our guest today as part of our small business highlight. And we want to begin to do more of these small business highlights. So I want to introduce to you Ms. Sierra and have her tell us a little bit about herself and about her business. Hello, yeah. Ms. Sierra.
Welcome. Hi, Troy. Thank you so much for having us. We are super excited to be able to share with you guys a little bit more about our business. So I am the third generation owner of Navarro's. We are a small Mexican takeout restaurant located right here in Muskegon Heights. We started in 1978 with my grandparents. So it started off as a Hispanic grocery store. So they had products that weren't readily available. They used to sell records and meat, and they specialized in homemade tamales and chorizo. At the age of 18, my mom purchased the business, which now being a business owner, I think is crazy. I have no idea how she did that at such a young age.
At 18, that is something else, huh?
She purchased the business and it grew and evolved to become just a takeout only restaurant. And then unfortunately she passed away in September of 2020. She unfortunately passed away from leukemia, and my family was faced with a decision to either continue this legacy and tradition that we've had to be a small business located in Muskegon Heights serving the community, or just to let it go. And we weren't quite ready to let it go. So tomorrow is actually our 1 year anniversary of my husband and I taking over the business. And thinking back to that first day, it was kind of incredible. Like we
happy anniversary, by the way.
Thank you. I didn't realize, you know, you grow up in this environment. I tell people that I was a snotty-nosed kid in the kitchen who complained way too much about being there.
Right.
So I didn't pay attention to how much a part of the community my mom had become and what an integral part of the Muskegon Heights community. And when we reopened, I found out real quick. We were overwhelmed with love and support. And that first day we sold out, like it was an outpour of love from the community here in Muskegon Heights. So
that's gotta be an amazing feeling to open yourself up and be vulnerable when you are putting something on the market and see the community respond to that.
Yeah, and that day, not only, you know, was it exciting and kind of nerve-wracking to take this new step as a business owner, but that day so many people came in and shared their stories about, you know, interactions that they had had with my mom. And I laugh to this day because, you know, I would see customers that I served when I was in high school.
Wow.
And I tried to give them an update on my life, and they're like, honey, we know, like your mom told us, like we know. Yeah, it's been a crazy first year. So thank you, Troy, for the opportunity to share a little bit about what we're doing. But also thank you to every one of our customers who has supported us over this last year. It has been a wild ride.
Right. So currently, Navarro's is a takeout restaurant, right?
Yes.
So it's not sit-in. And I've only been here a little bit over two years, going on 3 years. And so my only awareness of Navarro's was during COVID, which I would ride by and I wouldn't see anybody there. And I thought, wow, that's a shame. But it's great to see that you have now taken it from there and it is alive and thriving.
So. Yes, thank you. So yes, we have always been a takeout only establishment. But we saw an opportunity to kind of beautify our space a little bit last summer. And we did add a small patio. So we did add some picnic tables. We are really excited to continue that next year and to continue to add ways to make our space more inviting and more comfortable for our guests. We definitely are limited. So anyone who has visited us in the past knows that we're a tiny little place, for lack of better words. But we want to continue to be creative to make sure that, you know, you continue getting the good food that you know and love, mm-hmm. but also have a space to kind of hang out for a little bit.
Excellent. Excellent. And I understand that you were involved in competition, was it?
Yes, there's actually been quite a few. So
tell us about that.
When you and I first got to know each other, I was one of the top 100 for 100 Ideas for Start Garden. Okay. So they are an organization based out of Grand Rapids. They're a wonderful support ecosystem for entrepreneurs. So mm-hmm. though they are located in Grand Rapids, anyone along the lakeshore, if you are, you know, just getting started, need some resources, Start Garden is a wonderful place to start. Right. We showcased our idea to expand our business into food retail. Mm-hmm. And by that, you know, imagine seeing some Navarro's products in a Meijer, for example.
Yes.
So we were very close, but we didn't win. And we haven't quite given up. So we are pitching again at the end of March for okay. Michigan Women Forward. We are in the statewide food category. So okay. we are hoping to finally make Muskegon Heights proud and bring mm-hmm. home, you know, first place in one of these competitions.
Right.
There's a lot of really cool things happening in Muskegon Heights when it comes to food and food distribution and retail.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was just about to say amazing things in food across Muskegon Heights. So
absolutely, and we have found wonderful support in people who are in those spaces. So I was just about to mention Kaya Thornton Hunter with Kaya's mm-hmm. Flavor Packs.
Right.
She is actually, I would consider her a mentor of mine. When I was kind of mm-hmm. deciding what we were going to do with this endeavor, she pointed me in the right direction. So, sure. For any of you who are considering, you know, expanding your business or food distribution, there's wonderful resources right here in our own city and wonderful people who there's no gatekeeping. We all want to see each other succeed. Mm-hmm. Point you in the right direction. And it's honestly such a breath of fresh air to be in such a right. supportive environment.
Yes, it is Jennifer Ross that says that, and Kaya Thornton, it's collaboration over competition.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, we have been so supported. And now that we've kind of got our bearings a little bit, you know, we're one right. year in, we're mm-hmm. ready to support other small businesses in any way that we can. So we're learning, we're newbies, but if, you know, any other business out there thinks that they can benefit from, you know, picking our brain, we're certainly up to it.
Okay. And so do you also do catering?
Yes. We do offer catering. It's pretty on a limited basis, but we're definitely open to it. Mm-hmm. So our email address is right on our Facebook page. You can okay. reach out. That email comes to me directly. We can talk mm-hmm. about your needs, what you're looking for. And if we can make it happen, we make it happen.
Okay. So all of you out there that are doing the lunch and learns in your offices and maybe trainings, there's an opportunity for you to cater in with Navarro's, right?
Absolutely. And we've recently partnered with Lakeshore Delivery Partners. Okay. So for those of us who have, you know, takeout Fridays at their office, Lakeshore mm-hmm. Delivery Partners can deliver your Navarro's order right to you at the office or your home, wherever you may be. Mm-hmm. I do like to highlight them because they are a local business trying to support local restaurateurs. So though the Uber Eats and the Grubhubs of the world are wonderful to help us get our food, Lakeshore Delivery Partners is really all about helping small restaurant businesses. So if you can support them and support us and other mm-hmm. businesses in Muskegon Heights, please consider ordering from Lakeshore Delivery Partners.
Great. Well, I want to come back to the competition that you're involved in now. Is there anything that the community can do to support you in that competition?
Yes. Thank you for asking. And I had actually kind of forgot about the aspect. So thank you. So mm-hmm. the competition is virtual. It will be live streamed over YouTube. And there is a People's Choice Award. So anyone who is tuned in can vote for our business. And every vote counts. So the People's Choice Award is $1,000. And if we take home the top prize, we can also take home People's Choice Award. So we feel really good about our chances, but we would still encourage you to support us. And now that you've mentioned that, March 3rd is the regional category for Michigan Women Forwards Pitch Competition. Mm-hmm. And Country Cookin' is actually in that competition as well.
Oh, wow.
And mm-hmm. same thing, they have an opportunity to take home an additional $1,000 with your vote. Mm-hmm. So please support Navarro's and Country Cookin'. We are two women entrepreneurs who were selected out of over 150 applicants in each of our respective categories. So please,
that's amazing.
Please support us.
Yes. I mean, that's a testimony not only to yourselves, lady entrepreneurs that are taking the bull by the horns and making it happen, but it's also a testimony to Muskegon Heights that we have two that have been selected to compete on this level. And so I'm sure you're going to make us proud, and I'm glad that there's a way that we as a community can participate in supporting that. So again, how do we connect to help support that?
So I would encourage you to like myself and so Navarro's Mexican Takeout's Facebook page and Country Cookin'. I will be sharing the link as we get closer. Okay. So for my category, it's not till the end of March.
Okay.
So we'll be sharing the links there so that you can tune in, learn about our vision for the business. We only get 3 minutes to pitch. So we have to be a little creative on what we wanted to say and share with the judges. But it was a really good opportunity to kind of define our vision for the business. But we are looking forward to one day having some of our products in those big box stores. Like I said, can imagine, you know, walking down the aisle, frozen food aisle at Meijer one day, and you'll see Navarro's right there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show as part of one of our first small business highlights. And we will be throwing our weight and support behind you and cheering you the whole way. So thanks again for joining us. And hopefully we'll be able to bring you back again for a report once the competition is over and keep us updated on the progress of the company.
Thank you so much, Troy. Yes. And I hope the next time we talk, I will have a big check to hold up and show you that we did it. So,
all right. Yes. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Sure. So now we are going to go to a brief break and then come back with Herco, Phyllis Laudermill and the Laudermill Group, and talk about our segue from our last show about mortgages and buying a house. And we're going to continue to talk about the topic every show repeatedly about buying houses, because our goal is to be able to build 50 houses in Muskegon Heights in the next year and be able to average at least 50 homes a year for the next 5 years to reach our goal of 250 new homes in Muskegon Heights. And that's not just building the homes, but it is helping people in our community transition from renting into home ownership, and then helping those people who may already have a home and are looking for a different type of home. Maybe it's a larger home or a smaller home, and meeting those needs and giving those options and opportunities to the wonderful men and women in this community in Muskegon Heights. And so our goal with this 250 homes over the next 5 years is to be able to provide housing in Muskegon Heights for those people who have graduated from high school here, gone away to college and come back and want a place to live as they start their professional career, all the way up to those that are entering to that phase of their life where they might need assisted living. And so that continuum is part of our 50 for 5 years, or 50 and five, 250 home goal. And so we encourage everyone to stay tuned to every show to get continuous updates on what we're doing to bring new homes to Muskegon Heights, because that's truly the way that we're going to rebuild our community, create the tax base that we need in order to provide the services that this community deserves. So with that, we'll go to a break and come back with the Laudermill Group.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media. From podcasts to independent black-owned radio radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
The second annual I Am Her Feminine Hygiene Drive, supporting young ladies from Ghana, Africa, in need of everyday essentials and feminine hygiene products, was a great success. Thanks to the generosity of our community and organizations like Period.org, Muskegon Heights Public School Academy, Confident Cosmetics, Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, Inc., and everyone who made a contribution, hundreds of young ladies and village members received essential items. The community made a lasting impact with more than 10,000 sanitation items donated. If you would like to help, donations can be made year-round by dropping off items in the donation shed at the Mason Wright Media Center, located at 1877 Peck Street, or making a contribution to paypal.me/1037thebeat. For more information, call 231-727-5007. Thank you for supporting I Am Her Foundation.
All righty. Welcome back to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, City Manager, City of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. 1037. So I am going to welcome into our show somebody who has been a regular lately because of our housing initiative and the wonderful efforts that the Laudermill Group as private citizens have made to be part of making that vision a possibility of bringing new homes to Muskegon Heights. So welcome, Phyllis, Miss Laudermill. How are you today?
I'm doing fantabulous. Happy Wednesday.
Yes. And I see you got the memo on wearing black today, huh?
Hey, you know what? Great minds always. How about that?
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us back in the, on the show. Can you give us some updates on where you are? I know that the partnership with Keller Williams is up and running, and that you've got a program that you're working on to help members of our community become realtors and be part of this process from end to end.
So, yeah, thank you. And I want to thank you and the city as well for hosting us on Monday. They gave us the space as community for all of us to come in. And you know what? It was overwhelming. Over 30 people, and there were people that could not attend, even chimed in. So we are well on our way in selecting people that can become realtors. But what's interesting out of that, there are homeowners seeking as well. So it's a twofold. It's what I thought we should do, and it is working out in that directive. So I do want to thank you for that. So what we've done is we've created that. The next step is it's going to be around home ownership so we can have a workshop. So we're trying to give it a new name to make it more interesting because now tax season is coming up. So speaking to Flagstar today, we're going to...
Don't remind me. Time to pay the piper.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that out of the tax season, if we do adopt a bank, save a community, it means that we adopt Flagstar. And I'll talk about why Flagstar in a second. I want to incentivize, but also give them the idea that this can be a reachable goal so that when they get those tax dollars, they don't throw it away and buy things that they may not necessarily need. But we want them to look at home ownership. Mm-hmm. So we've been looking at the cost, like what would it cost and how much would it cost to buy a house? And so if you bought a house for like $100,000, like what would your mortgage look like? It's real simple. Over a period of years of 30 years, it's anywhere between $700 to $900 a month. And so I want them to start looking at that. So they say, well, how does credit come in that? Just like anything else. If you have the best credit, you get the best credit score. Those are advantages of being healthy credit people. Other is a little bit different. But part of this home buying movement is to teach us what we have. And then there are people that have no credit at all that can fit in the same rim that it was if you had the best credit. So that's what we're going to be doing in the next 2 weeks is getting that ready so we can gear that up.
So what was the range again that you said was 900 to what?
9 to 975. So we looked at if you had a house, let's say you bought a house that was already existing, because we are going to be renovating homes, and we figured the average cost, if it was $60,000, you're paying $500 or less more than what you were paying for rent. So then if I looked, if you bought one that was anywhere between $100 to $150, you talk about $975 if you have the best credit in the world. But even if you had some, which called questionable credit, you're still under $1,200 a month, which is what most people are paying anyway. So let's think about who, if you're staying at an extended stay at a hotel, you're $300 a week, and 300 times four is $1,200. You should easily be able to afford a house with that $100,000 mark.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So that doesn't even take into account what the whole purchasing process might bring to the table in terms of down payment assistance. And that, well, you know, that's been one of the things that I've been banging the table about, is that everything that we do needs to include access to down payment assistance, with the goal of trying to get to 20% down payment assistance for the purchase of the home. So in that case, if you had a $150,000 home with 20% down payment assistance, that would be $30,000. And effectively, you're paying for a loan of $110,000. And so,
which is interesting, you brought that up about CRA. And so I was talking, I think it's pronounced his name. I want to do it right. His name is Amin. He's going to look like be the mortgage lender that we're going to work with. And we were talking about CRA and how it works. And what, and it's interesting that Ottawa County has CRA in some of those areas and we don't. And so this opportunity with Flexstar is not only groundbreaking, but it's hugely, because we don't have that type of mechanism or mobile in our community, not right now. So we're bringing that. And so when we look at what we could do, that also tends to ask the question about other lenders that are here with us. What are they doing with their CRA? Why isn't it part of this product? And why is it that we're not part of that mechanism as well? And why aren't we a part of that CRA in our community? So when I look at why I chose Flagstar, it's because of the ask. It's because of what they're already doing. What they're doing in Detroit is it's amazing, with people who typically cannot buy a house. So it's easy to have somebody that we already can do it.
Right. Just
trying to tell someone about how to do it, which I'm sure we've been trying to do that for years. Mm-hmm. We just haven't gotten any traction in doing that.
All right. Well, we are working with, as you know, over 1,000 vacant lots in the community, 1,000 plus. And our community currently has about 3,700 homes. We're about 1,300 viable homes short of the tax base that we need in order to be able to balance our revenues with our expenses. Where do you foresee, and you know what my vision is in terms of where to start, but from your perspective as a potential developer, where do you see the tip of the spear on starting with the first new homes in Muskegon Heights?
We're definitely following your directives, and you are very on spot timing that Hackley has to be that show piece for us.
Okay.
And so we're starting with Hackley. And so one of the things we've done is we've married lots to people versus marrying us. And the reason being, we wanted to be a showstopper. We want people to know that this can be done. And more than anything, what I want our listeners to know is that everybody in the world thinks it can be, except for some of us at this point. But guess what? People outside is interested in being part of that development to develop for people in this community. So we're going to follow directives in that in the city. And we're going to definitely start on Hackley Street.
Beautiful. So when you look at Hackley Street, tell me what you see.
Well, what I see is that once we infill those homes on Hackley, you're going to be a birth of, just like anything else, I'm birthing from the in and without, right? So that would take us into the inside of the core, that people outside of Hackley will start looking at their neighborhood as well. And then we will start infusing housing in those areas to what to build value. Because if we don't do it, we're going to have a problem with people looking at us in our community as though the valuable we should have for our homes. So we have to start from there and go on the outside.
Beautiful. And if I'm not mistaken, on Hackley, there's about 23 vacant lots.
Yes, they are.
On Hackley. And yes. I think altogether there's probably 35 lots that border Hackley. So out of 35 lots, 23 of them are vacant lots, believe it or not.
And what's interesting and what's going to be great about that is that the volume of building that would ignite this community when we start building. Mm-hmm. And I think that once we build it, and that was a conversation I had this morning with another developer that is coming out of Grand Rapids, is that once we start this, the fire is going to come. And mm-hmm. it's going to be more than just Muskegon Heights that's going to be vowing for these homes. So I mm-hmm. want Muskegon Heights to know this. This is your home. Yes, I want us to respect it as ours, and I want us to want to live here. But at the end of the day, we're going to do a melting pot of this community that may even not even look like what we're used to having, which is going to force. The question was today is about health and safety. And I said, when we started building homes and people started working, and you're right, Shori, with your vision, that safety is going to come automatically because we're going to have pride in this community. So right. I think that is plus. And make sure that people want to live here as well.
Excellent. And all these homes are going to have video doorbells, Ring doorbells integrated into it, right?
Most like that was a question okay. earlier. We talked about what if a customer did not want it because of, there's a lot of reasons why people may not want that. So that is part of our smart ring, is part of our package
smart
in
city.
Our home.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of our smart city, part of that. So that is part of building a safe and sober village. So anyone that gets these homes is automatically part of that package.
Right. Well, I've said this before, but I want to reiterate this. When we're talking about the wave that is coming to West Michigan and the wave that is coming specifically to Muskegon Heights, and this is whether we get the casino approved or not, what folks oftentimes don't realize is that we're 40 minutes away from Grand Rapids. And we look at it from the standpoint of oftentimes, well, it takes me 45 minutes to get to the airport in Grand Rapids, or 45 minutes to get to 40 acres in Grand Rapids. But look at it from the reverse perspective. Muskegon Heights allows you the opportunity to live in a place that's 10 minutes away from the beach. And if you work in Grand Rapids, you're 40 minutes away from work. So we are the midtown between Grand Rapids and the beach. And the gaze in Michigan has been redirected away from Detroit and is now directed towards the lakeshore. People are discovering the beauty of our lake. And so if you can get a house here in Muskegon Heights for $150,000 that will cost you $350,000 in Grand Rapids, if you're smart, you're going to be looking for a house in Muskegon Heights. And so for that, what I'm describing is the opportunity for those of us who live here now to be able to transition from renting to owning, to be able to purchase an asset that's going to accrue in value every year, instead of investing in something that's a depreciating asset like a car or those types of things, we put it into real estate, a home. You are now putting money in your pocket every time you make that payment, not in somebody else's pocket like you do when you're paying rent, but into your pocket for your family and for your children for generations. So that changes the whole dynamic of our the opportunity for renaissance and prosperity in our community.
Well, one of the things that, since you took the thunder, I'm gonna let you know, we're gonna create a burn your rent and your lease payment, and how do you recreate and take your school and your community back. That,
I like that.
Conversation is gonna be for the next 6 months to a year of me mm-hmm. educating the value of what does it look like to live here? Why do mm-hmm. why should we value our community? I am a strong disproponent of school of choice. I never liked it. I never was a part of it. I never approved of it. Even when we did it back in the day, I knew that 5 years later, our community would look just like it's looking now. So I'm hoping that the young folk that have children that are in the school, so I'm hoping we could partner with the charter school, with the city, to mm-hmm. say, what do your housing look like? how do we make sure that you can sustain your living? That right. needs to be a conversation and a partnership, because there are families there, right? There are children there. And then we want them to unite their other families to move back in this community and to build our schools. So when you do all of those things together, there's no way you cannot create a full circle of a complete city.
Right. And if it's not clear, I want the listeners and watchers to think about what we're doing here. We are providing an opportunity for new homes. We are providing access to down payment assistance, credit repair, home ownership mentorship, as an effort to get our folks into a position where they can be prosperous. But we're also strategically working with the businesses in our community to provide incentives for people who work out who live outside the community but work here to now relocate in to Muskegon Heights and buy in Muskegon Heights and work in Muskegon Heights and live in Muskegon Heights. The businesses are talking about providing packages for an additional $10,000 worth of either down payment assistance or closing costs that you the business would put up for those workers that qualify. And if they stay with the business for 5 to 10 years, that contribution is then wiped out. And so we are piling opportunity on top of opportunity. We just submitted an application for a grant for firefighters and police officers who live, for folks who live in Muskegon Heights, to be able to go to the academy, either the fire academy or the police academy, and get a $5,000 bonus as a recruitment bonus if you live in Muskegon Heights or you buy a house in Muskegon Heights to be able to go to the academy. So that's another layer on top of all the things that we're pulling together to create the maximum amount of benefit for the citizens of our community.
And, you know, with the real estate, you know, we are opening up an office in Muskegon Heights. And so the first thing, my partners with Keller Williams are awesome in thinking about where we're going with this renaissance and how we're trying to recreate a whole new community and a new thinking as well. Because this is a mindset. We've lived in this mindset that this community was not viable. It was not ready. And we live here. And we're the people that have allowed that to be saturated. And now we have to change that. So putting that office in Muskegon Heights was the first question someone asked me. Well, why would you do that? Is crime there? Well, crime is everywhere. But when we open that office, it's going to be top notch. It's going to look just like Rivertown. And so that is the first thing I think with the Loudermill Group and Herco and my partners is that we want to make sure that we bring other folks into Muskegon Heights as well. And we want to help foster. So any type of monies and relationships that we've built, we're willing to share that with anyone that wants to rebuild this community. So it should not be a hard ask. We're hoping that they say if they need it, that it's there and we'll help them to get it.
Right. Well, I want to make sure that this is clear, that you are offering an option and an opportunity through your group for people to get access to all of these benefits, the down payment, the credit repair, et cetera. But that doesn't mean that folks can't purchase a lot themselves if they're ready to build, to go out and find their own builder, to find their own financing. So you by no means have a lock on Muskegon Heights. So I don't want people to get that confused. But I think the value of what you are offering, the synergy around bringing all these pieces together is a phenomenal service to Muskegon Heights. But that doesn't mean that you can't find other avenues and other directions in order to build your dream house. So.
And, you know, and we definitely open that, you know, so I'm glad you said that. This is not a Phyllis Loudermill project. This is definitely a spearhead of mine, but I've been very fortunate to have you and other people to partner in with that. And so that meant that whatever resources we have, we bring them. We're very clear that we're doing everything we can to make sure that it's not an ask for the city to fund us, that we found people that have resources and we're bringing it to the city. So we have been other young people that want to build, and they've had some hiccups, you know, with their builder, because you have to be able to be creative in this market to be able to finance houses and build. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for us, we have a very good and excellent team. So if it gets to the point where they cannot do that, most definitely, they're welcome to call us at any time, and we will give them every resource that we have available to them.
Well, I just went online real quick while we were in the show and pulled up a mortgage calculator, and it said based on today's rates and minimum credit, you could buy a $150,000 house with $916 monthly payment, including your taxes. Including taxes and insurance, $916. So if you're out there today and you're paying more than $900 a month, I want you to look at your living, your domicile, your residence, and say, is this a $150,000 brand new house? Because with the right support, with credit repair, together with mentorship and training, you can take that $916 a month that you're paying and walk into a brand new $150,000 house. Yeah. So that opportunity is there. And I think sometimes when we hear a number like 150 and we're struggling day to day to be able to put food on the table, to keep the car repaired so that we can get to back and forth to work, it just seems easier to write that check for the landlord every month than it would be in order for us to be able to buy a house. But you know, with buying a new house, a lot of the maintenance issues that you have to deal with go out the window, having to deal with all the interpersonal issues, because now you're owning your own home. We don't realize for the $900 a month, $920 a month, you could have your own home. $150,000 might sound like it's unattainable, but it's really not with the right support and the right services. And the state of Michigan has money out there that the Laudermill Group is finding ways to tap into. The county has money. There's so many agencies out there that are poised to support Muskegon Heights and the citizens of Muskegon Heights, and it's up to us to just bring those resources together. And in closing, I just want to thank you, Phyllis, for being part of providing that service, spearheading that service here in Muskegon Heights.
So just one thing quickly, talk about the money. One of the things we're going to be doing, because of taxes, is educate people. Like you said, when we did the numbers of how many people in this community had a house, but they're not, they had a car, they didn't have a house, that was paying over $700 a month for a car. It is actually 65%. So I want, the next time we talk about is, I want to change that mindset. That if you can buy a car, that kind of money, you can buy a house. You follow me? And so it's that, and what we have failed to teach people is that we have taught people that a car is attainable, but a home is not.
Right. All right. Well, I appreciate you bringing that final thought, and we're just out of time now, so we're going to have to wrap it up and bring everything else to the next time. So thank you very much for tuning in to Reaching Muskegon Heights. This is the city manager, Troy Bell, City of Muskegon Heights, and this is the show where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know with 103.7 The Beat. Be blue.
When smoking gives you COPD, you learn to lie a little bit. You make up excuses like, I have to get my keys. You guys go on. Anything so you can walk at your own pace. I used to do that all the time. Those lies don't work anymore. My tip is, the worst lies are the lies you tell yourself. Like smoking isn't that dangerous.
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.